Hello, welcome to the Rethink Your Understanding podcast, where we dive deep into transformative insights on leadership, agile, lean, DevOps, value stream management, and flow engineering. I'm your human host, Phil Clark. I've been leading technology teams for over two decades in both eras of software delivery. In each episode, the AI-generated hosts dive into key concepts and insights from my articles and blog posts. While this conversation is generated by AI, there may be occasional errors or misinterpretations that differ slightly from the original material. Join me as we explore and improve our understanding of digital transformation. I hope this inspires you to read the original article and reach out to me to collaborate. You will find a link to the article in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, rate, and follow us on your podcast provider of choice. Your support helps us reach more listeners, and every review counts. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking content, and thanks for being part of our podcast experiment and journey. In this episode, our AI hosts dive into an article advocating for a radical reevaluation of software delivery commitments, shifting away from rigid, project-based models and precise estimates toward a probabilistic continuous discovery mindset. Drawing on Vasco Duarte's insights and the three ways outlined in the DevOps handbook, they explore treating development as a series of adaptive bets, budgeting for change, using experiments as real-time status reports, and empowering end-to-end team ownership to achieve true agility and align work with value streams. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever sat in a meeting, maybe for a new software project, and the numbers get thrown around, timelines, budgets, and a little voice in your head is screaming, "Are we sure about that?"
I definitely.
Have you felt that tension between the desire for a predictable plan and the messy, unpredictable reality of building something new, especially with code?
It's a feeling I think anyone in the software world knows, or really any complex creative work, honestly.
Yeah.
That pressure to commit early based on assumptions that are, well, often just guesses.
Absolutely. And that tension, that sort of fundamental mismatch between how we want to plan and how the work actually unfolds, well, that's exactly what we're diving into today. Mm-hmm. This deep dive is based primarily on another great article from Phil Clark. We've talked about his work before over at his website, rethinkyourunderstanding.com.
Phil consistently challenges, you know, the conventional wisdom in tech. Mm. And this particular piece, bets, budgets, and reframing software delivery as continuous discovery, it's really insightful.
Yeah.
Because it tackles the root cause of so much friction in organizations,
mm-hmm.
our kind of flawed assumptions about predictability.
Right. So our mission today is to guide you through the core arguments Phil makes in this article. We'll explore why those traditional estimation and budgeting methods often set us up for failure.
Yeah.
And then look at the alternative he proposes, which draws heavily on ideas from Vasco Duarte that Phil highlights.
And it's less about finding a better crystal ball, yeah. right? It's more about changing our whole relationship with complexity and uncertainty.
Exactly. Now, a quick but important note for you listening. While we're going to explore the key ideas and, you know, try to bring them to life conversationally, mm-hmm. this discussion is really just a starting point. Phil's article on rethinkyourunderstanding.com, it's packed with way more detail, nuance, connections to other things he's written.
Definitely.
So think of this conversation as your essential guide, maybe, to the main points. But to get the full picture, you absolutely should go read Phil's original article on his website.
Yeah, we're aiming to stay true to the spirit, the key takeaways, but our conversation might flow a bit differently, you know, use our own framing sometimes.
Consider this your appetite whetter.
Good way to put it. We'll cover the feast, but the full menu is definitely on Phil's site.
Okay, so let's jump in. The fundamental problem Phil identifies right at the start. The way we approach software estimation, delivery predictions, it's often based on a flawed understanding of the work itself.
Mm-hmm. He points out that teams generally hate doing estimates. They know how unreliable they are.
Right.
But organizations demand them. They feel they need them for planning, for control.
And this conflict, it stems from trying to apply models designed for predictable processes to something that is just inherently unpredictable. We look at software development and try to manage it like, I don't know, building a house or manufacturing cars.
Exactly. Where you have blueprints, material costs, labor rates, assembly lines, things you can measure and predict pretty accurately based on past experience.
Right. If you've built 1,000 walls, you know pretty well how long the next one will take, give or take.
But software, it's invisible. It's knowledge work. Every new feature, every integration, every bug fix, it often involves navigating uncharted territory.
You're not just executing, you're discovering as you go.
Yeah. It's full of those unknown unknowns, right?
Yeah.
And that unexpected technical debt that's always lurking just beneath the surface.
Oh, that classic scenario, Phil, describes the simple request that seems so straightforward.
Uh-huh.
But once you start digging in, it reveals this tangled mess of dependencies or maybe a fundamental flaw in the architecture that needs a huge unexpected refactor.
That's the daily reality of software work. It's not the exception. It's kind of the norm.
And he even brings in chaos theory here, referencing Edward Lorenz's discovery back in the 60s.
The butterfly effect, yeah.
The famous butterfly effect. How a tiny, seemingly insignificant change, like a butterfly flapping its wings,
can have a massive, unpredictable impact on something complex like weather patterns down the line.
It's a perfect analogy for software, isn't it? A small change here, a minor integration there, and suddenly your whole timeline is just blown. Because of some unforeseen interaction or hidden complexity.
Totally. And Phil argues the real problem isn't the unpredictability itself. We can't eliminate that.
Right.
It's our pretending that we can predict it perfectly. And then demanding these rigid, fixed commitments based on that illusion of certainty.
That's where it all breaks down. The frustration, the missed deadlines, the wasted effort, the breakdown in trust between teams and the business. Mm. That often stems right from there.
So the goal isn't to just throw up our hands and say, it's chaos, we can't plan. Organizations do need to make decisions, prioritize, allocate resources, of course.
Sure.
The shift, as Phil emphasizes, it's fundamental. We need to change how we think about these predictions, how we communicate our confidence or lack of it, and most importantly, how we respond as we learn more, as the signals come in.
And that means improving things on both sides, right? Teams getting better at expressing uncertainty, providing those signals.
Yep.
And the business getting better at receiving those signals and adjusting how much they rely on those really early estimates.
Which is where Vasco Duarte's ideas come in. Phil explains his thinking was heavily influenced by Vasco's podcast on investing in software. It offers a really powerful framework for this exact shift.
Okay, let's walk through the four core points from Vasco's manifesto as Phil outlines them. The first one, it's a massive mindset flip from estimates to bets.
This is probably the most critical reframing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of approaching software like, say, contractors giving a fixed bid on a known quantity.
Right.
We should think like investors. Investors don't get guarantees, do they? They evaluate opportunities, they assess risk, they make an investment, and then they watch closely for signals.
Signals that tell them whether to invest more, hold, or maybe divest, cut their losses.
Exactly. So you're not asking for a precise time or a cost commitment up front. You're asking, based on what we know right now, what's the most likely range of outcomes?
And crucially, what's our confidence level today? And you accept that confidence is going to change as you learn.
Yeah. In knowledge work, you're constantly discovering the true nature of the work while you're doing it. You learn what the work is by doing it.
So things like velocity, story points, those traditional metrics become less important than understanding our confidence level and having clear learning signals.
Precisely. The conversation shifts from when will it be done to how confident are we, really, in delivering X value for Y investment by Z time, given what we know today?
And maybe even more importantly, what would make us more confident or less confident?
Yes. And based on what we've learned so far, should we double down on this bet? Or does the new information tell us we should pivot, maybe even stop?
That's how investors operate. They revisit their bets constantly based on performance, based on new market information.
Which flows really naturally into the second point, budgeting for change, not certainty. If we're making bets, our funding model has to support that way of thinking.
Totally. Trying to fund software innovation, discovery work with a rigid annual upfront budget, assuming a fixed scope and timeline will hold for 12 months, it just doesn't make sense.
No. It's like trying to manage a venture capital portfolio with one single non-negotiable lump sum payment for the year. It wouldn't work.
Right. Annual budgeting might work okay for predictable infrastructure costs, maybe, things you can forecast reliably.
Sure. But for building new capabilities, exploring market needs, tackling that technical debt that holds you back, that needs a much more adaptive approach.
And Phil, drawing on Vasco, advocates for funding based on value streams or products.
Yes. Funding the team or the product area with an ongoing investment, not funding a fixed scope, fixed time project.
So the investment is for continuous discovery, delivery, evolution. You're investing in the potential of that product or value stream to deliver value over time.
And you continuously assess whether the value being delivered justifies that ongoing investment.
This gives organizations huge flexibility, doesn't it? You can quickly ramp up investment in something that's really taking off.
Yeah.
Or pull the plug gracefully on something that isn't panning out and then redirect those resources to more promising bets without all the drama of canceling a formal project.
It aligns the flow of money with the flow of value and, crucially, the flow of learning.
Speaking of learning, that brings us to the third point, and I love the framing here. Experiments are the new status report.
This is such a powerful idea. If you're treating work as bets, you absolutely need reliable, fast signals to know if your bet is paying off.
Right. Or if you need to adjust course.
So what provides those signals? Experiments.
Exactly. Phil talks about things like, you know, lightweight tests, maybe technical spikes to reduce risk, MVPs, minimum viable products.
Or using feature toggles to roll out functionality to just a small group of users first. See how it lands.
And these aren't just random technical tactics, are they? As Vasco points out, they are fundamental governance mechanisms.
Yes. They generate real, actionable information about whether your assumptions actually hold true.
Does the customer actually use that feature we built? Did that technical approach scale like we thought it would? Is there a hidden performance bottleneck we didn't see coming?
So instead of just reporting, we completed task X on the Gantt chart, the status report becomes something like, experiment Y showed that users aren't engaging with feature Z because of this reason we just learned.
That's actual insight.
It is. And this is where Phil quotes Vasco with that fantastic line.
Yeah.
You remember it.
Oh, yeah. Experiments give you clarity. Gantt charts provide you with theater.
It's so true. One gives you empirical evidence you can actually act on, make decisions with.
The other gives you the appearance of control, the illusion of progress, ticking boxes on a plan.
But without confirming, you're actually moving toward a valuable outcome or avoiding some disaster you didn't foresee.
Okay, spot on. Let's move to the fourth point. End-to-end ownership enables real agility.
This one really ties everything together, I think. For teams to effectively run experiments, generate those reliable signals we just talked about, and respond quickly to what they learn, they need ownership.
Full ownership.
Yeah. They need to own their product or service, not just during the initial build, but through deployment, operation, ongoing evolution, the whole life cycle.
Because if a team is responsible for the product, from the spark of an idea right through to how it performs in production, whether it's actually delivering value to users,
then they are uniquely positioned to provide trustworthy insights. They see the full picture, not just their little piece of the puzzle.
Phil makes it really clear this isn't just nice to have. He calls it a prerequisite for achieving real agility at scale.
And that often means restructuring teams, right?
Yeah.
Aligning them with those value streams or products, giving them the clarity, the capability, and crucially, the autonomy to make decisions.
Decisions informed by their closeness to the work and the users.
The return on that investment in team structure and autonomy isn't just about them going faster on their own tasks.
No.
It's about the quality and the speed of the signals they generate back to the business. They're the ones best equipped to say, hey, this bet isn't paying off, or this area looks incredibly promising. Maybe we should invest more here.
Or, uh-oh, we just hit an unexpected technical hurdle that seriously changes our confidence level on this future.
That kind of input is far more reliable, far more actionable than reports filtered up through layers of management or assembled by teams who only see one slice of the delivery pipeline.
It creates those short, tight feedback loops, essential for navigating what is, let's face it, a chaotic system.
Exactly.
And that connection, feedback loops, flow, learning aligns perfectly with the core principles from the DevOps handbook, right? The three ways. Phil explicitly connects Vasco's manifesto back to this.
It's a great connection. It shows how these ideas aren't just, you know, isolated team practices. They extend to the fundamental operating model of the business.
So the first way, flow and systems thinking. How does value move from idea to the customer?
Funding by value stream directly optimizes for that flow across the entire system. It helps remove those handoffs, those dependencies that slow everything down.
You're optimizing the whole chain, not just fixing one link. Then the second way, feedback loops.
Getting information back quickly, not just about technical health, but about, are we building the right thing? Are we solving the intended problem?
And treating initiative as bets, using experiments as your main status mechanism. That just turbocharges those feedback loops, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Information about what's working, what's not, flows rapidly from the teams doing the work, seeing the user impact, right back up to the decision makers who control the investment.
And the third way, a culture of continuous experimentation and learning.
Embracing uncertainty. Taking risks, but in a controlled way. Using practice and failure as learning opportunities, not something to be punished.
Which is baked right into the idea of treating investments as bets and relying on experiments for signals. It acknowledges we don't know everything up front.
And the best way to learn is by trying things. Small things. Safe to fail things.
Phil really emphasizes that for true agility to spread through the whole organization, these principles flow, feedback, experimentation, they have to be applied beyond just the tech teams.
Yes. They need to be embraced by leadership, by planning, by budgeting, prioritization, governance, the whole system.
And Vasco's points give a practical blueprint for how to do that at those higher levels.
Right. Funding shifts from fixed plans to dynamic investments, strengthening feedback across the whole portfolio. Experimentation becomes strategic, a tool for learning and managing risk, not just an engineering thing.
And optimizing for flow means speeding up the whole cycle, from a business idea getting funded to seeing measurable results and learning from them faster.
So bringing it all together, both Phil and Vasco's message seems to land on this crucial point. The biggest hurdles often aren't the technical challenges, or even the team's ability to execute.
Yeah.
The main constraint, so often, lies at the organizational and leadership levels, where we cling to outdated project management thinking, demand certainty that just doesn't exist.
And build plans on that shaky foundation, that illusion of predictability.
And Phil acknowledges, look, changing deeply ingrained processes like annual funding cycles, that's not always easy or fast.
No kidding.
But even within those existing structures, you could start adopting the mindset. Evaluate investments as bets. Actively look for those learning signals. Be willing to adjust direction based on what you learn, rather than just blindly following the initial annual plan.
So the path forward for leaders, based on this article, start acting like investors managing a portfolio of bets.
Fund product teams or value streams, not fixed projects, where possible.
Measure progress by the learning generated, the value delivered, not just by ticking milestones off a static timeline.
And structure governance around receiving and acting on real, value-driven feedback from empowered teams, not just tracking activity.
It really boils down to accepting the fundamental truth of the work, doesn't it?
It does. As Phil concludes, you aren't managing projects in a predictable factory. You are managing bets in a chaotic system.
And the sooner that reality is fully embraced, top to bottom in the organization,
the better positioned you'll be to actually succeed, make better decisions, get better outcomes.
It's a really compelling argument, a necessary shift in thinking, it feels like.
It changes everything once you start to see it that way. It really does.
And that wraps up our deep dive into Phil Clark's article, Bets, Budgets, and Reframing Software Delivery as Continuous Discovery. You can find it again on his website, rethinkyourunderstanding.com.
We've covered quite a bit. The challenges of traditional estimation, Vasco Duarte's four-point manifesto, moving from estimates to bets, budgeting for change, experiments as status reports, end-to-end ownership, and how it all connects back to the three ways.
Seriously, if this conversation sparked your interest, and we hope it did, we highly, highly recommend heading over to rethinkyourunderstanding.com. Phil's article goes into much more depth on all of this.
Yeah, it provides more context, links to other related posts he's written. It's really valuable stuff.
Think of this as the map, maybe, but the full journey is definitely in reading his words directly.
It's well worth your time if you're grappling with any of these challenges in your own organization.
Definitely. And as you think about all of this, here's maybe a provocative thought to leave you with. If you truly accept that software delivery operates in a chaotic system with inherent, unpredictable, unknown unknowns, what's one immediate change you could make today, even a tiny one, in how you plan or how you talk about predictions or how you make investment decisions in your own context? One small change to better align with that reality.
A little experiment for your week.
Exactly. Thanks for diving deep with us.